WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
My guest is private investigator Erwin Bly. Our image of private eyes come from detective novels, movies, and television. The fictional detective moves in a world of seediness, explosive violence, and wild sexual adventures. But Erwin Bly says he operates in a less dramatic workaday world. He handles divorce cases, insurance claims, missing persons estates, and white-collar crimes. Bly is the subject of the book called Bly Private Eye, written by Nicholas Pileggi. A new paperback edition has just been published. And Bly has co-authored his own book called Secrets of a Private Eye. It's a how-to book for people who want to act as their own private investigator. Erwin Bly has been a private eye for 30 years. I asked him how he got started.
While I was going to college on Long Island, a friend of mine was an investigator for an insurance company, and one day had asked me, come with me, I want some company. And we went out on an investigation, an insurance claim, and I was kind of fascinated with it. He was interviewing people, looking for witnesses, attempting to determine what really happened to you. I said, you know, this is something I'd like to get into.
You're a detective. Our image of detectives is of people who carry guns. Do you carry a gun?
I'm licensed to carry a gun, and on occasion I do. For the most part, I do not. The gun, it's not a necessary situation. Now, the physical violence, let's say we're doing a surveillance. I cut someone off. You're more liable to become in a fist fight over the car than because you're driving, and you're not driving as you normally would. Well, someone's going to get in front of you. Go ahead. I can't let them in front of me because that'll be the third car, and that subject's going to be lost, and I'm going to lose. Once you lose the subject, you're finished. And there's something else. On television, you see them chasing the subject. Well, in the private eye, or the private investigator, when he's chasing it, that job is over. If I was training you, my comment to you would be, if you've got to let him go, let him go. If you lose him, lose the subject. I can pick it up if you're forced under the circumstances to drop it, or if you lost him. Now, you can take a situation where you're doing an investigation. And you say, well, what do you mean by drop them? If I was doing an investigation, a surveillance, take, say, an apartment house that has a doorman, and I've been there for 4 hours out front, and my subject comes out, I got to be careful of that doorman. That doorman has seen me for 4 hours. May or may not. Hopefully he won't. I'll be in a position. But he might. I might be, have to be in a position where I couldn't avoid sitting in a certain area. I might let that subject go because I'm concerned that that doorman will alert the subject. Certainly the doorman's loyalty is not to me, it's to the tenant.
Say you have to wait outside somebody's building for them to come out, and or you're waiting in your car or whatever. How can you wait there for a long time without looking like someone really suspicious?
Okay, there's several things you can do. One thing you can do is, instead of sitting behind the wheel, sit on the driver's side.
Looks like you're waiting for the driver.
Exactly. You're waiting for someone. And you can also look at your watch and be disgusted. You know, you've got a play act, but you've been sitting there for several hours. There are props that you can keep in your car that can change what you look like. Different coat. A dog is marvelous. Kids are terrific.
Take your kids with you sometimes on a
stakeout? Sure. They're jumping up and down in there, and you're pulling up, and nobody expects it.
If you've got your kids in the car, how do you teach them to not say, Daddy, Daddy, there's the guy you're following?
I don't tell them there's the guy I'm following. You know, my son, who's now 16, when he was 6, 7, 8 years old, 9 years old, he could call someone on the phone and elicit info. If I wanted to find out if someone was home, for the most part, of course, you call up and you speak. Because that call, that can be wiped out of your memory. But hang-ups, may or may not. You got to be a little careful. So what I do is I don't tell the kids what we're doing. And my son can call up If I wanted it on a surveillance, I don't tell them. But let's say I wanted to find out, is this particular individual home? And I would tell, he would call up and I say, this is, I want you to find out if so-and-so, and I would coach him. And he would get engaged them in conversation. He's marvelous. You'd hear this little voice, oh, is Tommy home? Well, no, he's not. Is this his daddy? Is this so-and-so? And and it's terrific the way he can do it because he's been trained from the beginning.
What do you do when you have to heed nature's call on a stakeout and you don't want to leave because you can't leave?
Well, you do the obvious. Various investigators handle it in different ways. Street or a bottle. But I've been on surveillances that have literally have stayed in a car for maybe 30 hours, 40. I can remember once, this fellow who used to work with me quite often, we were in that car for almost 2 days. In fact, I think we were. And so what do you do? Well, at that point, there's two of you. You try to get a local restaurant, then you try to, but it's certainly not very pleasant. And when you see a stakeout on television or in the movies, and they're sitting there extremely refreshed, the car is very neat. The only thing I think that was close to was the French Connection. You've got to see a surveillance car, almost every one of them. Coffee cups, sandwich wrappers, cameras thrown around, binoculars, maybe a hat in the back, a different coat, and you've been there. You're living with it, and you're also exhausted.
You pride yourself on knowing how to mastermind your way through bureaucracies to get computerized information from data banks that are supposed to be secret. Should we all be worrying that our secret information
privacy?
The insurance companies have, the stuff that's supposed to be private, is it really?
Privacy is a myth. It's non-existent. I believe, because I want to, that it may exist. You may believe that it may exist. It's non-existent. It's not here. Why? You're born, the first thing they do, take your footprint. We're on our way. Next thing we got the school records. Next thing we got is credit cards. Next thing we're involved in a lawsuit. Next thing we're engaged, so I got the blurb of your whole family and your whole background. It goes on and on and on.
So if you know how to get the information, it's available.
Yes, it's available. The trick to it, if it's not even a trick, it's a technique. When you're attempting to obtain information on an individual, one, of course, you got to know where to go for it. But also speak to them in their language. Don't call the bank and say, can you tell me how much so-and-so has in their account? No, I cannot tell you how much so-and-so has in their account. Call the bank and say, listen, I've got this check. Is this account any good? Is it in three figures? Has any accommodations been made? I mean, what you've done is you triggered them that they automatically answer. I don't think because that's the way they talk to each other all day long. Now, you didn't do anything illegal. All you're doing is talking to them in their terminology. If I went into the bank and I look around and I see now there's three people who can help me with the information I want. Now, it's up to me to pick who I think is going to give me the information. Sometimes I'll walk in and you're a private investigator. And most people love to talk about being a private investigator because every night they're seeing it, every single night. I want to use that to elicit information. I'll take every advantage that I can.
You've made it clear that you think that the world that fictional private eye lives in is indeed fictional, very unlike the kind of world you operate in. But what are some of your favorite detectives from the world of movies, TVs, and TV and books?
Well, some of my favorites in the world. Okay, I like James Gardner. But this is fiction. I'm not relating them because I've never seen the closest thing to real life, I think, was, as I said before, and it wasn't a private eye. It was the movie, The French Connection. We don't do the chase, but like when he was on the surveillance and he had the cup and it was coffee and it was lousy and he poured it out and they're sitting in this great restaurant and you're eating a slice of pizza. Well, that's more realistic. No, that's more closer to it.
Well, thank you for talking with us about
your
real life
me.
Private eye life.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
Erwin Bly is a private investigator and the co-author of Secrets of a Private Eye.